Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's July 15, 2023, and it's time for your Impact Wrestling Slammiversary post-show. I am Atrel Pearl, and tonight I am happily joined by the wonderful host, co-host of the Spotlight here on YouTube.com/Fightful, and host of the Weekender on FightfulSelect.com, which we'll be talking about a little later. Steven Jensen is with me. How you doing, Steven?
I'm doing good, Joel. Good to see you, man. Hope everyone's doing good in the chat. Another great Impact Wrestling pay-per-view, in my opinion. I'm always happy to join on these pay-per-view post shows for Impact. So I'm happy to be here, man. How are you?
Doing great. This was a really, really fun show to watch. It was a good time all around. I think there were a lot of surprises. There were a lot of title changes. Said it on Twitter, Steven. Once a year, Impact does their great reset. Everybody gets a new title, and this was the recipient, was Impact Slammiversary 2023. But overall, really fun show. Five title changes and a couple of big returns, three big returns, really. And I think there are going to be more on the horizon when they do their Fallout tapings tomorrow night. So it's good stuff. And by the way, good stuff is also leaving a thumbs up here on the video and also subscribing to us here at YouTube.com/Fightful, because we are one step closer when you click that subscribe button to 100,000 subscribers on the channel. And we all want that nice silvery play button. I know Jimmy does. I know Sean does. I secretly want it, but I also want it on Overbook. That's another topic. That's a whole other topic of conversation. And of course, if you want to support us financially here on Fightful, you have a couple of options, one of which is FightfulSelect.com, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And also, you can leave a super chat here on the video. Just go ahead, any amount, get your question statement read on the air. Click that dollar sign in the chat window, or you can go to HumperChats.com, because tonight we're going up against the Colliders and the Belters. Because of that, if you're going to leave us a Humper Chat, just leave IMP as an Impact, first three letters, with your Humper Chat, so that we know that you're not asking us about why CM Punk didn't win the Owen tournament this year. We'll talk about that if you want to, but like, let's face it, we're talking about Slammiversary here. Jensen, overall thoughts coming out of this show, what was the biggest takeaway for you?
Ooh, I mean, the biggest takeaway is the reset, really, like you said, as far as, I mean, all the titles changing except for the world title. So that's got to be like the biggest one. But then also, you know, along hand in hand with that's the returns. I mean, that's another. And to be honest, like we had a lot of good matches too. I mean, like it was a full package, in my opinion, of like just a good product from Impact. But if I had to choose one thing to say, I would say the main takeaway of this show was a big reset feel for a lot of their titles. Because not only was there, so the only title that didn't change hands, of course, was the world title, which we're going to talk a lot about. But on top of that, there's even a reset there in a way, because Josh Alexander's back and we're resetting, like the champion never lost his title is back in the mix now too. And, you know, so that's how I feel about it. What was your biggest takeaway? I mean, outside of the reset, I guess, you know, that's kind of the big one, I feel like.
Yeah. The reset's big, obviously, the five title changes, that really kind of sets the stage for the next few months of Impact. Josh Alexander making his return was the biggest surprise to me. I don't think anybody knew where he was on his return or on his recovery. Obviously, Eric Young was a big one that was hinted at this past Thursday as they went off the air. And, you know, I think most people had come to the logical conclusion. And then Fightful Select reported today that Eric Young was out of his WWE deal, and a little bit more details there over on FightfulSelect.com if you want all them. But seeing him was a really big deal. And he said it at the end of the match. He said to the crowd, "I'm home." And that's really how Eric Young feels. And of course, Trinity capturing a world championship is a big deal. She hadn't competed in over a year and a half, they said on commentary, for a singles championship. And this was big. So her capturing that title meant a lot to a lot of people. And I'm looking forward to seeing how she continues to hold that title in Impact. I wasn't sure how long her deal is. I'm still not sure. But for all we know, you know, it'll go until, I don't know, Bound for Glory, let's say. And that's in October. That's plenty of time to tell a good story with your Impact Knockouts champion.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, a lot of good stuff coming out of this show. And Trinity, I mean, that's obviously a really big deal. Very happy for her. That's, I mean, the big story there is betting on yourself. And they talked about that a lot on commentary as well. So we'll deep dive into that once we get to the match, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, as far as like returns go, obviously huge returns, which I know I'll talk more about. I don't know what order you want to do this. And I don't know if you want to like talk about like the returns kind of in front of you, like kind of throughout the show and then kind of hit on them, or what's best for you on that?
Let's just go throughout the show. Let's just get it as we come along. Let's start with a super chat from Van Twinblade saying, "Get Reg in here to talk about Trinity." Listen, y'all want Reg's opinions? You got Grabsity. You got a Grabsity Q&A every other week on FightfulSelect.com. And also you can listen to Reg and Kate talk about literally everything, including Ring of Honor, on Thursday nights. Reg will give his hot takes when Reg is on the clock, I promise you. He's got plenty to say. I'm sure he's excited. Let's kick this right off. The countdown opening match with Sean Taraj. That's Giselle Shaw, Savannah Evans, and Jay Vidal taking on Jody Threat and the Death Dolls. That's Courtney Rush and Jessica, because she's sick. Really, really simple match. It was a pretty good six-woman tag. Courtney Rush spears Jay Vidal, gets the win. I'm ready for Giselle Shaw to get back in the winning column, but I know that they had to make Jody Threat whole after this past Thursday where she lost to Deonna. What do you think of this match real quick?
Yeah, I thought it was a solid opener for, you know, I'm always, when I tune into these, like the countdown shows, I'm always like in the mood to watch wrestling, right? Like I'm like looking forward to it, turn that on. I just want to see it. I just want something good to kick it off. And I thought this was a solid opener. And you know, spear from Rush to get the win. I mean, yeah, it was solid. It was a good opening match for what it needed to be.
Yeah, simple, easy, and we'll see where it goes from here. Digital Media Championship. This was the setup of the night for all the other title matches. Joe Hendry drops his title to Kenny King. I love that they used the Chippendale bow tie as an accessory, as a weapon, as a gimmick. It was very fun. The standing ovation almost got it, but then Sheldon Jean put King's foot on the ropes. Eventually, Kenny King gets the win with the leverage pin, gets his feet on the ropes. And Jensen, I don't know if you know this, this is the exact same finish from BTI this past Thursday between Dango and Heath, where they put their feet on the ropes, did a leverage pin. So there you go. New digital media champion, Kenny King. They do a post-match promo afterwards where King calls him Lame-O Joe and then says he stripped Joe Hendry of the digital media championship after Joe Hendry spent so much time calling Kenny King a stripper. Said Alex Shelley is MySpace. It was all spark when you started, but now you're garbage. And then said Chris Sabin, who was the X Division champion at the time of the promo, he's Twitter because he's lame and he sucks. And the digital media champion is the only one that matters. I like the digital media championship the way it's been presented over the last 6 months, Jensen. I don't know how you feel about it, but now Kenny King took that title off of Joe Hendry, who had had a pretty damn good run with it. What do you think of both men moving forward?
Yeah, no, I'm with you for sure on the Joe Hendry having a good run with that championship, especially his match with Moose at was it the last big pay-per-view that we talked about? They've had a few matches with each other, but they had a really good one-on-one match within the last 6 months or so that I remember being really, really, really good. And the fans are really behind him too. They do the whole thing with him and they sing his song. The only thing that was kind of weird about this to me was the whole thing was like, he's trying to like shame or whatever Kenny King for being a Chippendales dancer. But then like during the match, he was like doing the, you know what I mean? I was, and also he was like, I don't have to take off my money to make or talk, take off my clothes to make money or whatever. I'm not trying to lose my clothes tonight. And he's cutting this promo while he's basically in his underwear and in boots. Like, I mean, I'm like, it's not that much different. Like at the end of the day, like with the amount of clothes you're losing here, that was a little bit weird, but I get the story. Like, I understand it. And I think Kenny King was good at like leaning into it as a heel. Also, I'll throw this out there. I'd like for them to incorporate at some point, if they're going to go back to Kenny King's roots and talk about him in his non-wrestling life, someone needs to bring up him being on My Brother and Me back in the day. He was a kid with the cool Dr. Money haircut that all the kids wanted. That was literally him. His name was Kenny in the show as a kid. So go back and check that out. I know Sean Ross Sapp actually has an interview with Kenny King from years ago about that on this channel because it's such a niche thing, but anyways, shout out Kenny King. I'll never forget you from Tough Enough, man. Still out there killing it. And yeah, good for him winning that Digital Media Championship. They need to figure out something to do with Joe Hendry, though, because he's got a good look. I think he's good, like, long-term for Impact. If he's going to be there for a while, I think they can do a lot with him. So shout out to Hendry, too. He had a good run.
They had a couple of options for Joe Hendry. I think they can move him up to the X Division pretty easily. And also, they started teaming him with Yuya Uemura, so there's maybe a possibility of having them mesh as a tag team moving forward for a little bit. They don't have to become tag team champions right away, but just like the Good Hands, you got to start somewhere. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the beginning of that. But when we talk about Ultimate X, we'll see just how much movement is going on there. I want to point out real quick, the Sheldon Jean and Kenny King tag team, or just partnership, I've been putting this over on the post shows that we do on Thursday nights. I love, first of all, Sheldon Jean, much like Kenny King, is another reality TV quote unquote star. He was on Big Brother Canada in the pandemic year. Okay. On top of that, you know, like Sheldon Jean is an up and coming star. He has the look, he has the potential. And I think working with Kenny King on and off camera is really good for him. I have a feeling that this will end with King and Jean feuding for the Digital Media Championship, which is great because they've spent this time making that title more important by having Joe Hendry have these great matches. We mentioned the one with Moose at Rebellion. This is another one. You know, King and Gene had a good one. If they move the title off of the countdown every so often, you can have some really, really good stories being told. So I'm looking forward to the inevitable King and Gene match. That's where I'm at.
I like that. I think you're probably right about that.
Let's get into the Ultimate X match. The main card opens, as it is tradition. If you have truss rods and two big X's crossing the ring, you're going to start with Ultimate X. Speedball Mike Bailey, Jonathan Gresham, Kushida, Allen Angels, Kevin Knight, and Jake Something returns. That was the shocker of the night. No one expected that. Kushida comes out in a Windsor Spitfires jersey, and I said to myself, this either means he's going to absolutely win, or he's going to lose because the Spitfires lost in the OHL playoffs this year. Then that's so niche that nobody would get that. This is the 49th Ultimate X match. Eventually, Kushida does get the win. There was some real good stuff here. Allen Angels punching everybody in the dick. That's just how you play the game. What do you think of this match? Kushida is now holding that Ultimate X and therefore gets an X Division title shot anytime down the line.
I thought this was a really good match. I mean, especially for an opener. This is, once again, you know, I talked about when I tuned into the countdown show, the pre-show, kind of like the mood I'm in to watch wrestling. When I know an Impact pay-per-view is starting, I want to see this type of action. I want to see the X Division. I want to see Ultimate X. Like, this is the kind of stuff that is like a staple of Impact, like pay-per-view. And there was a lot of great spots in this one. Like, Speedball had that ultimate moonsault he did off of the whole thing to the outside. It was nuts. Allen Angels like landed on his head doing that Spanish fly. I mean, that was gnarly as well. And I'm glad he's okay. I couldn't see the angles that they showed. You couldn't really tell how bad his head hit or didn't hit, but like on first glance, it looks like he landed on his head. And then he, you know, that goes all the way down your spine. And like, he was selling his back afterwards. He said that he was okay afterwards on Twitter though. So that's definitely worth noting, but yeah, I thought this was a great match, and it is great to see Jake Something back. That's a guy I've been a fan of for a long time, going back to, I used to watch him in Glory Pro back in the day, as he was like coming up. So, and he's a guy who like, you wouldn't like, he can wrestle any style, and he worked well in the X Division or the Ultimate X match. So yeah, that's really good. And also shout out to Kevin Knight. Like, he's a guy who I think is going to just keep getting bigger and bigger. I got to see him live at Battle Slam not too long ago, and he was like really impressive in person. And yeah, I like his link with Kushida and stuff. There's a lot about this match that I really liked, and They kind of got to figure out what to do with Jonathan Gresham, I feel like, as well. He feels a little bit lost. But yeah, I thought this was really good. And then Alan Angel, as you said, I thought it was funny at the end how he was all the variations of hitting people in the dick he implemented. And then the actual finish too, like he was kind of trying to do it to Kushida, and Kushida punched him backwards. It is like baseball throw kind of punch that he does. And yeah, that was good stuff. So yeah, good for Kushida. And then also what was confusing to me is then we'll talk about this in a minute, but I'm figuring out after this, okay, it's going to be Kushida and Sabin for the X Division title, you know, because that makes sense with the story of like Alex Shelley being the world champion, all this stuff. And that call got like thrown out the window a little bit later in the night. So we'll definitely talk about that.
And who knows if it really did get thrown into a blender, because you can have Kushida trying to, you know, make up for his buddy in Time Machine being True. Taken out the way he did. There's a little bit of a story there. I agree with you. Jonathan Gresham continues to be this like, what are we doing here story and Impact. And I tell everyone, if you're betting on Jonathan Gresham in your match predictions, stop. Because the second everybody stops trying to say Gresham's going to win, that'll be the day that Jonathan Gresham gets the victory. Wasn't tonight because people kept betting on him. But listen, I put it out there. I've said it. I don't know when Gresham's contract ends with Impact. If it was tonight, oh, guess what? There's an open spot over in Ring of Honor for that World Championship match now. I would love to see him show up and face Claudio. Don't know if it's on the cards. Don't know what can happen. They seem to still be teasing Bayley and Gresham as a tag team. I don't hate it. Again, I just want to see Gresham on track wherever he goes. And then Kevin Knight, I got to point this out. Right at the beginning, him and Jake Something start going at it, and Jake Something throws Kevin Knight up, and he almost grabs the X right then and there.
Yeah.
And then instead gets powered down. They do a little Hurricane Rana spot that looked a little rough, but then they kind of got back into it. And then Jake Something just power bombs the shit out of Knight, throws him out onto everybody outside of the ring. There was some really good stuff right there. Speedball also, you know, not to be outdone, does his top of the platform moonsault. Okay. When I've watched Ultimate X in Toronto live, they cannot put the truss as high as they could tonight, because the venue that they were in tonight was a legitimate like Agriplex tall building, whereas Rebel Nightclub is a nightclub. It's just a big box. So tonight was a much more impressive looking Ultimate X match because of the way it was put together. So I really enjoyed it. Kushida, again, there's a big story here with Lio Rush and with Chris Sabin, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. First, let's get to the Knockouts tag titles. Can't say too much because I'll be labeled as a pervert. So instead, I'm just going to say Masha Slamovich and Kelly Kelly are your new Knockouts tag titles. They're new Knockouts tag team champions. They call themselves MK Ultra now, which I like it. This was a really solid match. This was good stuff. Let's get into it. Not a big fan of the cameras missing the finish, and then they had to go back and show you that they got Masha Snowplow, and that's how we finish it. But there was a little bit more going on in there. Before I tell you what I liked, Jensen, what did you like?
Well, I really liked the team of Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich. It is, as I tweeted, a badass tag team. Big fan of both women. Got nothing at all against Killer Kelly, but I'm going to put over Masha a bit more just because she's someone else who I think the world of Masha, she's killed it, just especially in like GCW in recent years, holding on to the world title. All this, I mean, she's in everywhere. I feel like Masha is like legitimately one of the best wrestlers in the world of like any gender right now. And I think Killer Kelly's way up there as well. Don't get me wrong. It's just I've been very vocal about my fandom of Masha for a few years now. So it's good to just see her getting anything of importance and Impact, because I feel like if she's not going to be doing this, she should be wrestling for the Knockouts title, not for the Knockouts title, for the world title, for the X Division title. Like she's super, super talented. And I thought this match was a solid match, it was weird that they missed the finish, but you know, Masha hits a hell of a snowplow to get the win there when they showed the replay. And this was the first time they teamed together, right, on Impact. So like, I mean, that's a great way to just kick them off as just kind of like that unstoppable tag team type feeling. First time they team, like who's going to beat these women? You know what I mean? They should wrestle the men as well, if I'm being completely honest, on Impact. Like the two of them should be taking on like the male tag teams also. Like there's a lot they could be doing in Impact with Killer Kelly and Slamovich as a tag team.
I don't hate that idea. I mean, they can both beat up anybody, gender non-specific. I'd be down for it too.
Impact. Oh, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but like, if you're, because Impact's the one company that's like willing to like just do it regularly. So it's like it just totally makes sense. Like, you got this badass tag team, just have them wrestle everybody.
Yeah, I'd be a fan of it too. I mean, we need to make up for the last time we tried to do it and get a lot going on. I mean, in the world title scene, because obviously Jordan Grace was doing a lot of that as well and saw some success from that. I love Masha getting the matching gear with Killer Kelly. That stuff was good. They did at one point, Masha had a sunset flip pin, kicked out. This is while she's in the ring with Kylan King. And then instead of just trying to do anything else, she stomps Kylan King, does a double foot stomp, and then rolls her up again. I thought that stuff was fantastic. There's a code breaker into a German suplex from the Coven on Masha Slamovich. And then, of course, they get to that finish where it was supposed to be Kelly getting... Kylan King was supposed to hit that running big boot, but I think she was confused as to where she was going. She had to hit the ropes a few times because I think Kelly or someone had to hit their mark. But either way, the match was solid. It was good stuff. Masha and Killer Kelly, MK Ultra, are your new Knockouts tag title holders. Once again, you said it yourself, first time they've teamed up in Impact, and the Coven actually won the tag titles on their first round in Impact as well as a team. So let's not set that as a precedent, but let's at least enjoy the fact that there are still women coming through and staying tag teams in Impact. I'm fine with that.
So the thing is like, and you know this by covering the show weekly, obviously, like there's so many good women in Impact, like collectively, that so many of them on like any other roster, like they'd all be like the world women's champion on like so many different promotions, you know what I mean? So it's like but luckily you have the Knockouts titles and Impact. It's one company where it actually makes sense. Like in the WWE, they don't seem to do or have any idea to do with their women's Knockouts titles. The Impact kind of doesn't either, because they keep hot potatoing it, you know, the belts. But like when you really think about it, it's like they got so many good women that you got to have something to do. You got to put them out there and have something for them to do. So, and if at least there's going to be championships involved, I'm okay with them kind of putting together just random tag teams of like really good wrestlers and just having really good matches for those titles. Like it's better than not doing anything with the belts, and it's better than like having some, you know, like, you know, stale tag teams or something. Like at least you're kind of getting something fresh kind of, you know, consistently with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, when you got a stacked and stocked Knockouts division and are currently being told they're the best women's division in all of wrestling, and at least North American wrestling, you got to find ways to utilize those women and not just have them sit waiting for a title shot or waiting for something else. Good concept here, doing a six-person tag team match to open the show, right? Having the Death Dolls and Jody Threat versus the Shantaraj. That's a good way to start it. And then, of course, you've got Masha and Kelly teaming up after Masha couldn't get the Knockouts title on her first couple of tries. So what do we do next? We're going to move her into a tag team, and that works for me too. Van Twinblade sent us a super chat saying, Glory Pro Whiteboard Guy approves of Jake Signripper, aka Jake something, returning to Impact to do big man things. It's good to see him back.
Yeah,
for sure. We're going to talk about this in a second. But you think him and Dean are going to get back together?
You know, I thought about that a little bit. I thought about that. There was a lot of like kind of weird connections throughout the night, because obviously we'll talk about the Bully Ray and Damore tag team match and all the connection. There was like so many connections in that one and stuff. So yeah, that's interesting though. Deaner and cousin Deaner
and cousin Jake.
Yeah,
I asked Cody Deaner about that once, and he was like, for the right amount of money, absolutely. So, hey, maybe the right amount of money finally came around. Bully Ray and Deaner team up to take on Scott D'Amore and the returning Eric Young. Team Canada's back, baby. Darren McCarty is the special guest enforcer. By the way, if you are subscribed to Fightful Overbooked, or maybe you just know about it, Jeremy Lambert and I host a show called In the Weeds. Darren McCarty was a guest of ours on Friday, so go ahead and check that out. He foreshadowed the return of Eric Young when we couldn't, because Fightful Select had the scoop tonight that Eric Young had gotten out of his WWE deal. There's a lot more news and a lot more information over there. So subscribe for the best $5 in the business, FightfulSelect.com. This match, before we talk about the match itself, I want to get your thoughts on kind of the lead up to it. Originally, this was going to be Bully Ray and Macklin versus D'Amore and PCO. Macklin was injured, by the way, Fightful Select has an update on Steve Maclin tonight, which was great. There's some pretty good news in there. And then it was going to be D'Amore and PCO. And then this past week on Impact, they wrote out PCO, or 2 weeks ago, they set him on fire. Effectively wrote him out of the match. I thought they were going to have him show up tonight. He didn't, probably for the best, considering the way they told the story in this match. But what did you think of the changes that happened going into this match before we actually talk about it?
It was very weird and hard to keep up with if you don't keep up with Impact Wrestling, because then they were also announcing like the replacements on like Busted Open and stuff like that. So I luckily, you know, I'd say, you know, just kind of stalked through Twitter as things were all changing. But I don't know what else to really say outside of it looks completely different than it did when it was originally advertised. But honestly, it probably worked out for the best, if I'm being completely honest.
Diener is like a ring general. Not that Maclin isn't, but like Diener knows what he's doing. All four guys know what they're doing in there. But like you look at the way the match kind of played out. Again, Eric Young is back. This is the second time he's returned to Slammiversary, which makes me laugh. And they show earlier in the night, former Team Canada member A1 is in the ringside looking jacked as ever.
After Rouse, let's go.
Great. Got people talking. And then later on, he would get involved in the match, take out Big Con at one point. Eric Young and Scott D'Amore get the win. My favorite part of this match is so stupid. They're spending most of the first half of the match is how much can we piss off the referee? And then the referee, who is a local, you know, Ontario referee, just takes off his shirt and says, screw you guys, I'm out. And then Darren McCarty, who had been accosted by said referee for trying to be an enforcer, Darren McCarty throws on the jersey and is just like, all right, guess it's my turn now. And it's just a big beatdown. It's fun. It's harmless. Scott D'Amore's mom at ringside trying to take a shot at Bully Ray. And of course, they do a bunch of callbacks to moments of past Slammiversary. What do you think of this match? Fun for everyone, I guess.
Honestly, it was better than it had any right to be totally honest. Like, it's not like I expected this to be bad. I just didn't really know what to expect because I wasn't sure who. I mean, I had a good idea that it was going to be Eric Young, but I didn't know for sure until it happened, especially because he's like so fresh off of that, you know, coming out of his WWE deal that, you know, that we all found out about and everything so recently. It was cool. Like Scott D'Amore hit a Canadian Destroyer right there then. That was nice. Eric Young hit his flying elbow drop. That was nice. I mean, I thought this match was actually pretty solid. I think obviously Steve Maclin is a great wrestler. It'd be great to see him out there. And I like PCO as well, but, considering, you know, once again, the story that they wound up telling with Team Canada, then it was cool to like hearing the music, seeing Eric Young and Scott D'Amore like make the walk down the ramp. Cause yeah, I was a day one TNA fan back in the Nashville Asylum days. And like, that whole Team Canada, when they used to do that, like Ultimate X Cup and all that stuff that they do with all the teams, the World Cups and all that, like those were some, I actually should go back and watch that stuff. It's been a really long time, but it like, it makes you feel pretty nostalgic for like TNA as a company. Even seeing A1 out there, it was funny how he like had his shirt off when he came out to like make the save and everything. He's like, you know, showing like I'm still jacked. Like I can still go if y'all need me to. So yeah, and it would be cool to see more members of Team Canada come together, honestly. Like I know they couldn't get like Bobby Roode, I'm sure, and stuff, but like they, you know, they could. I'm sure like Petey Williams is out there somewhere available.
They ain't gonna get Petey.
Where's he at?
He's a producer in WWE.
Oh, he is. That's right. I completely forgot he was there.
They're not going to get the second captain because he's a pile of garbage. They could get, I mean, Jack Evans has done a couple shots. He was once upon a time. Ruffy Silverstein, where's he at?
I completely forgot Petey Williams was with the WWE. But hey, shout out to Scott D'Amore fitting that Canadian Destroyer, Petey Williams style.
Looked real good. I enjoyed the match. It was fun and harmless, and it was exactly what it needed to be. They do the table spot. They do everything from get the tables to the 1-2-3. They do the wada drop, and it's fun. That elbow that you mentioned from Eric Young looked really good. because
he's got one of the best elbow drops. Yeah. He really does.
And he had to fly across that ring to get across the tables and hit it. It looked good. It was fun. Darren McCarty looked like he was having a blast, which is great. He got to hit that stunner, which he said, I don't do, what did he say? I do a punch in the stunner. I don't do the kick because I can't get my leg up that high.
Nice.
That's so good for him. It was a good match. I wasn't a fan of the referee being taken advantage of until I saw what they played that out as. And so that was a good time.
Well, and also it's worth mentioning Eric Young did come back from the death. So, you know, and there's a lot of layers with that. I mean, like the Eric Young Diener layer, the Damore and Eric Young layer, you know, obviously the whole story going into this with Damore and Bully Ray and everything. So there was a lot of different stories like all coming together in this thing. But it's pretty impressive that Eric Young, because if I remember correctly, it's been a while. They literally like stabbed him to death, right? Like
so Diener shivved him. You didn't see the body. You presume dead.
But he was like bleeding. I remember seeing it. He was like bleeding all over the floor and stuff. It was pretty... Anyways, but yeah, good for Eric Young to be back. And also, as you said towards the beginning of the show, it was good to see Eric Young in the ring and you saying, you know, I'm home. Like, it's, and I saw the report. I believe the reason that it's on Fightful Select was that Eric Young didn't want to work for Vince McMahon, which like, if that's what it is, like that's respectable. I get that. And Eric Young's, you know, he's a guy who I wish had a bigger run in the WWE because I'm a big fan of his for a long time. He's also a Nashville guy, so I got to see him live a lot when I lived in Nashville. Like he's a Nashville fairground. He's like a Nashville fairgrounds main event guy. Like whenever he's wrestling in Nashville, I always think of him as a Impact guy. Like when I think of Impact Wrestling, he's one of the guys I think about. You know, so it does feel like he's back home.
Yeah, and I think so too. And again, the conversation that I had with Eric Young, God, a couple of years ago. This is an interview that didn't really see the light of day because we had some technical issues, but I've aired a clip from it. And I asked him, what happens when Eric Young is done with wrestling? And he says, I'm going to just fade off into the sunset, never to be seen again. You'll know when I'm gone because you'll never see me. And we were kind of getting that way when he left Impact. And then there was talk about, you know, oh, he's going to WWE. And I'm like, I'll see it when I believe it. And then, of course, we got confirmation that he was signed but not being used. And clearly he wanted to be an on-air talent. He wanted to be working. He's kept himself in very good shape, which is no surprise to anybody. And he got out. He got out because of whatever reasons. You can read the report on Fightful Select. The sale and Vince McMahon coming back into the company reportedly played a role in that. And so if that's the case, then yeah, good for Eric to bet on himself again, come back to Impact and do that.
I'll pull that up for us too. Hey, Cresta. Good to see you.
Cresta, by the way, is doing the Collision post show. So she decided to big time us and do that for some reason. I don't know why. But Cresta and I are normally here every Thursday night with the ROH team. We cover Impact every Thursday, probably around 10:10 is when we get on there. That's Eastern Standard Time. Let's keep rolling here. The X Division title's on the line. Lio Rush, Chris Sabin. This one went quickly. Lio Rush is your new X Division champion. Dan V with the super chat saying, Sabin losing was surprising, but gave me a sense of relief where I was confident Shelley was retaining. Alexander returning so much earlier than from that injury, and from that injury, which is typically 6 months. We're going to tackle the latter half of that, but really the first part, Chris Sabin lost in a very decisive factor. Lio Rush just really just beat the shit out of Chris Sabin for 5 minutes. They did some tense work where they had to, so basically Lio Rush attacked Chris Sabin before the match starts while Sabin's making his entrance. And then Sabin is asked, you want to continue? Do you want to start the match? Sabin says yes, because he's a fighting champion. They start the match. Lio Rush immediately attacks Sabin again before he gets his jacket off, hits two final hours, does the first one, kick out at two from Sabin, does another one, does not kick out. Lio Rush wins. This was a one-sided beating, Steven Jensen. What'd you think?
Yeah, so I noticed that like what they were. Well, for one, I'll say I don't like this, like, but I'll explain why. So like, the beginning of the match, they do the thing where before the match even starts, technically, like you said, Lio Rush does the dive to the outside, the suicide dive, and they play it off like he's hit heads with Sabin. I think is what because like that's like it looked like they did, and then Sabin was on the ground really selling it, and like they had now one of the probably the funniest moment of the entire night for me was when Saban throws like the doctor down for no reason. Like the guy was trying to help him, he like throws him on the ground. And then the guy, like, if I'm the guy, I'm just like, screw you, man. All right, go and get in there, man. What do I know? You know? Like, and then that's what winds up happening, dude. Don't listen to the doctor. That's what happens. But jokes aside, like, the reason I don't like this is because this was probably the match I was looking the most forward to on paper. Like, just like an actual Chris Sabin versus Leo Rush, just a banger of a X Division title match. And if you were a casual fan or even just like a non-fan, even of Impact, just a wrestling fan that was like on the fence or like maybe considering watching this show, and you saw that on the card, you're like, maybe that's what nudges you to watch it. You're like, oh damn, Chris Sabin, Leo Rush, one-on-one. Like, this is going to be a banger. Like, I'm going to tune in for this. And then it like, isn't a matter. Like, nothing really happens. Like, you just, like you said, basically suicide dive, beat up in the ring, two final hours, 1, 2, 3. Now, I get the storyline aspect of this, which we can definitely, you know, dive into. But as far as being a fan of both guys, like in the ring, it was disappointing because I felt like there's one thing if it's a storyline thing. Like, I feel like there's many other ways you can get to this conclusion with like having an actual match still. And if there was anything about, you know, needing to cut time or anything, which I have no idea if that was the case. I'm just saying if that had anything to do with anything about cutting time, this is not the match I would have cut time off of. You know what I mean? Like this, like so this is really just honestly as a fan, just sour grapes. Like, I was really looking forward to them having an actual match and I get to see it, unfortunately. But I didn't expect Leo Rush to win the X Division title, to be honest, because he's a guy who comes and goes from companies so often, but he's super, super talented. So like, I love watching him wherever he is. But I think because of that, to be fair, a lot of the time companies like don't give him major championships because they just don't know how long he's going to be there. But I was thrown off completely by this. Like, I thought we were going to get a real match, and I thought Chris Sabin was going to retain because I thought they'd do him Kushida, and I thought there was still more to do with him being the X Division champion and Shelly being the world champion. So that's how I feel about everything. So how about you?
So I'm going to get to that in a sec. I want to actually bring up the super chat from Dobby the Brain Heenan saying, I love Leo Rush, but does anyone think that the match wasn't supposed to be a squash? Chris Sabin looked shook up from the dive and Leo didn't get the and new graphic. And while you were talking, I was taking a look at that. Yeah, he was the only one who didn't get it. However, I wouldn't be surprised if Leo is going to use that to play into his nobody respects me story. I'm here to win matches. I'm here to win championships. I don't need an and new graphic to get my, you know, to get what I deserve. Maybe they called an audible. It's entirely possible. Maybe there's an injury. Who knows? We will ask around at Fightful. I know we will. But with that in mind, I agree with you. I wish this match had been longer. I wish this match had been a competitive one-on-one. If it's an injury thing, that sucks. And I hope that whoever is injured gets better. Presumably it would be safe in this case.
I want to obviously preface everything I said, but with that, like, of course, if he was actually hurt, obviously, but also if he was actually hurt, he shouldn't have wrestled at all. If he had an actual head injury before the match started, he shouldn't have gotten in there, to be fair.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And Steven Jensen just wants everyone to wrestle hurt, by the way. This is
I'm very selfish in that way. I just as a fan, I just want to see what I want to see. Okay. I don't care about these people.
That's right. Nothing else matters. But that's the whole thing. If there's an injury to Saban, we hope he's okay. If not, I guess they're going to continue this into Emergence, possibly, when they go to Toronto next month, which selfishly, I don't mind because I will most likely be there and I will most likely be watching. It's unfortunately also the same night as All In, so I will be split-screening it, I guess. I don't know yet, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out in the TV tapings tomorrow night at Windsor, because that's going to tell exactly how bad of an injury, if any, there is, or if it's just part of the Leo Rush is here in Impact to take over story, which is fine. There was a part of me that thought Leo might cash in option C at the end of tonight and be like, I want all of it. And, you know, I want to level up right away. So who knows? There's an opportunity there. But that's kind of where I'm at. I would have loved to have seen a fully competitive match, a 15-20 minute sprint. Those two men can do it. I hope they do it. But it won't be tonight. It wasn't tonight.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Huh. All right, let's keep going. It's a sprint. It's a marathon, Steven Jensen. It's a marathon. Four-way tag title match for the Impact Tag Championships. Ace of Bays dropped their titles. I was not surprised. Moose and Myers, Sammy Swan, and Subculture. Subculture captures the Impact Tag Team Championships. That surprises me. What didn't surprise me was the Rascals costing Ace of Bays those tag titles. There is a really cool and weird story that's going to develop out of this. I feel like Subculture will drop those tag titles to Ace of Bays or Rascals, maybe as early as tomorrow night, and we'll move on from there. But Subculture getting the win is a good tip in their cap, good feather in their cap. Like seeing that from Andrews and Webster. But what do you think of the match? There was some good stuff in here.
Yeah, I really liked the match. It was one of my favorite matches of the night. Honestly, it was one of the ones that I was the most looking forward to. You know, I was talking about the Saban and Leo Rush match. Outside of that, this was probably the one I was the most looking forward to, honestly. I mean, I'm wearing an Ace Austin shirt right now, but
Mark.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I'll support my
buddy. Let me tell you, I'm gonna cut you off. I said this on Twitter. Once upon a time, on an episode of Impact on BTI, Gia Miller, and yes, I know Gia Miller and Ace are a thing. Gia said that Ace Austin is Quadzilla. And I cannot get that out of my head, no matter how hard I try.
That's okay, funny.
So you are wearing the t-shirt of the one and only Quadzilla.
Quadzilla.
And she's right, by the way. That man has monstrous quads.
Very large quads. Very good. Very, very good point. Good point. But no, I'm with you on the, I like the Rascals getting involved. You expected them to, but like, I think that that's good. Like, I'm a big fan of Trey and Wentz, and I don't know, like what's going on with like Myron Reed, but like I feel like I know he's available. He even tweeted earlier today he's a free agent. So it's like I'd really like to get him involved with Impact if that was a possibility. Like the three of those guys as the Rascals, obviously. I always forget the things when they change their names. Wesley over in NXT is doing really well, so that's been cool to see. Also, listen, I like Subculture a lot. I really do. I like them in NXT, NXT UK. I covered the NXT UK for a long time for the Weekender, as long as it was running, and you know, those guys have always been really solid. I actually remember Mark Andrews running Impact like pre WWE when he was like a singles guy there.
Yeah. When they would go to the UK and he would be over like Rover.
Yeah. He's a great wrestler. I like him and Flash Morgan Webster a lot. Like I'd be fine with them having a real run with the tag titles, honestly. The only reason that I'd be against it at all is kind of like what you were kind of getting at a second ago is like, obviously there's a great story there between Ace Austin and Chris Bay and the Rascals, and they're going to have great matches. And like, why wouldn't that be the tag team title feud with that, with those two teams? It would just make sense for those to be the teams feuding over the tag titles if you're going to have that feud. But that said, Andrews and Webster, I think, are a great tag team. And, you know, as you also mentioned, it's very possible. I mean, we just had, it's not out of the realm of possibility for titles to just keep changing hands. We had almost all of them change hands tonight alone, and then they're going to do tapings tomorrow. And from there, like, you know, we could have new champions again. So, you know, it's very possible. By the way, I usually do the spoilers for Impact on the Weekender. So if you guys want to, if y'all like spoilers for the Weekender and for ROH and stuff like that, it depends on when I record the Weekender in relation to when they actually, you know, film their shows and stuff like that. But if you're into that kind of stuff and also independent wrestling, I'd recommend the Weekender, because that's kind of how I keep up with Impact for the most part nowadays. Is like I read all the spoilers, and then I do like a massive like catch up, like watch along for myself, like kind of leading up to these pay-per-views. So anyways, that said, I thought this was a solid tag team match. Good for Subculture. I'm looking forward to ABC versus the Rascals.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. Finish was Subculture hitting Flash Morgan Webster hits the pinball wizard to the outside, takes out the field, and then Mandrews hits the fall to pieces and gets the pin on Brian Myers. I was convinced, Steven Jensen, that it was going to be Moose pinning Rich Swann, and Moose and Myers were going to win those tag championships. That I was sure of it after Moose announced he was signing a new deal. And then they kept doing the thing with Swan, with Rich Swan and Moose. And I was like, they're just going to play it up. And they didn't. They surprised me. And I'm okay with that. It was a good match, good finish. Looking forward to how they continue that story. The tag division Impact is starting to rebuild. This is another conversation similar to the Knockouts, where you have a lot of really good wrestlers who are just waiting for their opportunity. Sometimes you got to make a tag team, and sometimes you got to let that tag team find their chemistry and keep moving. Moose and Myers are good together. They're eventually going to do something with the good hands, because they got to blow off that story. Sammy and Swan, honestly, I can take it or leave it. I'm kind of over that story, but that's neither here nor there. Subculture, they're the people with the tag titles now. They're the ones that matter. So let's keep moving on. Battle of the Kowalski trainees and their wives in their corners. Frankie Kazarian takes on Edward Edwards. Tracy Brooks is with Frankie, and Alicia Edwards is, of course, with her husband, Edward Edwards. What do we say? This match happened, and Ricky Starks got the win by grabbing the ropes and winning the Owen Hart Cup at the same time.
Yeah. So I don't want to roast too hard there, because obviously, so this was the match that was happening at the same exact time as the Owen Hart Cup tournament finals. So now that said, I want to give them credit where it's due. This was a good match. Like, this is like Eddie Edwards was faking his area. It was actually really solid. Those guys went really hard out there. They had a really solid match, honestly. But, you know, then there was a ref bump, and then it gets a little goofy. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, basically what winds up happening is Eddie Edwards is tapping out to the chicken wing from Kazarian, but winds up getting hit. You know, eventually winds up getting hit with a kendo stick, and then Boston knee partied. But, you know, this is just, you know, I always sound like a broken record when it comes to Eddie Edwards, and I don't want to do that again, but it just feels like people didn't really care that much about this, but like, it was a good match. That's what always happens. You're not that really looking that forward to it going into it. It winds up being solid. It was what it was. cool to see Tracy Brooks. I mean, I was a fan back in the, you know, the OG TNA days, the OG knockout, I guess, is as they're referring, you know, to her now. And Alicia Edwards, you know, it's, yeah, there's not a whole lot more we can really say. I feel like, you know, this would have been like a good, like, main event of like a Thursday Impact.
Not even. I'm sorry. This would have been a really good mixed tag, and I wish they had done that. I wish, and I understand. I don't think Tracy was up to get back in the ring, and that's fine. I get it. She did take a bump. She did do a double leg and some beat down, hit a lariat on Lish, and that's fun. They had a good time, but I think this would have been a lot more fun if they had done the mixed tag. Maybe they'll do it tomorrow night. Maybe not. But either way, one thing that was really cool is that in the other times they've done this match, there was a big story of trying to get the backpack stunner, and then finally Edward Edwards finally hits it. Still a 2.9. They do the Kazarian slingshot cutter, which always looks good. That's another 2.9. And then, like you said, there's the Boston Knee Party at the end. Eddie gets the win. A lot of Boston sucks chants. Very proud of you, Windsor. You know what to do. And yeah, there were some good moments in here, but they aired it during the Collision main event, so they knew what they were doing. I think the second match that Kazarian and Edwards had was the best of the three, but I do recommend going and watching this if you actually have a minute and you just want to watch two really, really good professional wrestlers doing good professional wrestling. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Knockouts title time. This is the one. Trinity captures the Impact Knockouts World Championship, taps out Deonna Purrazzo for the first time ever. I'm still trying to figure out who the violinist was who played out Deonna, because she is a New York wrestler in training who also plays violin. Okay, I'm not going to tell you how I did this. I did a lot of searching on the internet. I found a lot about her, and I found no name. Okay? But she is apparently a New York training wrestler. She's tried out for Miss New York and decided not to do it. There's a whole thing about her, but I do not know her name. But she was very good at playing out Deonna tonight. I always like to have at least a little bit extra in this whole thing. Good match, solid match. Really, the finish was what got me, was Trinity hitting that sit-out powerbomb on Deonna Purrazzo from the second rope, and then not only locking in Starstruck, but tying up the legs as well, because that was the big, big story of the match, was how are you going to get... It's like the Venus de Milo takes both arms. How are you going to incapacitate your opponent? This was a match that was well worth it. Kicked it into a better gear midway through. What do you think of this, Jensen? Because Trinity has the Knockouts Championship now. So what do you think of the match? And what do you see going forward with her?
I thought it was a good match. I like the entrances, as you mentioned. Trinity's entrance is always going to look cool. And just the whole like glow aesthetic is like it's always going to work, I feel like, in wrestling. And obviously she needs to back it up in the ring, which she does, and she's, you know, she's a very good wrestler. So it's, you know, I like the whole pack. I'm kind of surprised they didn't do more of that, like, with her in the WWE, to be honest. Like, I was actually there live at WrestleMania, I believe it was the one in Orlando, WrestleMania 33, when she won the the women's version of the Andre Battle Royal. And and she was like super over. I know she's from Orlando, I believe. But she was super, super over at that show. And from there, I thought they were going to really like strap a rocket to her. And they kind of did for a second. And then like, it just kind of felt like, you know, so with her being an Impact, obviously the big story, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is the whole betting on yourself thing. And that was, you know, it's got to feel good for her, you know, to come over here, bet on herself, be recognized as the face of the women's division of, you know, not just the women's division, that we said it ourselves, that probably, you know, I always have to preface this so that people don't come at me, but if you're looking at like WWE's roster, right, you're looking at like Raw, SmackDown, NXT, their whole developmental, what they had with the UK and everything, their overall collection of women, that's probably the best in my opinion. But if you're looking at like singular shows, like you count Impact Wrestling as like one brand, Raw is a brand, SmackDown is a brand, NXT is a brand. Like, I think Impact easily has the best roster of women's talent. And that's where Naomi is now in like the face of that. So that's a big stamp of approval. And that's got to feel good if you're her to be in that spot. The other big question for me is, what do you do with Deonna coming out of this? Once again, with it being Impact Wrestling, I think it's foolish to not have her involved with the male titles and Impact. Like, if you're she, how many times can she be the Knockouts champion, the Knockouts with involved in Knockouts tag teams and all this stuff? She should just be wrestling the dudes for either the X Division title or the world title at this point, honestly. Like, so that's what I would do with Deonna Purrazzo coming out of this as well. But yeah, I'm happy for Trinity. That's good for her. And once again, the entrance for Deonna was really cool with the is it violinist? Is that a violinist?
Violinist
is the correct pronunciation of that. So yeah.
There was a really, really good spot, a couple spots in the match that I want to talk about. Deonna keeps hitting that inverse package pile driver where she's grabbing legs. It's like Wednesday Night Fever, which is Chris Statlander's finish. She does a variation on that, which is really good. And then that was a near fall. And the slingshot X factor from Trinity right into the split legged moonsault. That was good stuff. And of course, a Queen's Gambit onto the ring apron. The hardest part of the ring, Steven Jensen, 2.9. This match, like I said, kicked it into high gear towards the finish and really got me at the end. I really enjoyed it. Congrats to Trinity. It's going to be fun to watch her with that Impact Knockouts World Championship. Yeah, what's next for Deonna Purrazzo? I think there's a certain hardcore country act coming back soon enough, and she's going to want that Knockouts Championship. So we'll see where that comes into play. I wouldn't mind seeing Mickey and Trinity. I'm sure Mickey would love to do that too, but we'll keep it locked. We'll find out soon enough where it goes.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, that speaking of Mickey, we have someone very close to her in the main event of this show as well. So, I mean, there's things you can do there too, potentially. So.
Well, there's someone very important to Deonna Purrazzo too. He was featured on FightfulSelect.com earlier today for the best $5 in the business is where I give you that hard sell. Eric Young is back. You want to know why? FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. You want that update on Steve Maclin? It's there. It's there. All the good news, the bad news, the timing, whatever you want. It's all up on FightfulSelect.com. You want to talk about Utami Hayashishita? She made her Ring of Honor debut tonight. Spoilers. But we had the news about that, about her appearing backstage tonight over on FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. And of course, if you want to hear more from Steven Jensen, he's told you already he hosts the Weekender podcast where you'll get, yeah, sure, you'll get some spoilers here and there, but you'll also get all the views on the independent wrestling that maybe you aren't watching, should be watching, want to reconnect with. Jensen's got you covered. Yeah. Sean does a Q&A every single week. Sour Graps, if you want the sourest take on WWE programming from Alex Palowski and our own Kate Elizabeth, who hosts the Ring of Honor post show, but that's a totally separate show that's on the main feed. That's for free. But for the best $5 in the business, you're getting all the news, you're getting all the exclusives, and you're getting all that extra audio and visual content. We always keep it locked. That's what we do. We give you all that you can get for $5 a month. It's simple. It's easy. Go and subscribe right now. FightfulSelect.com. If you're not doing it, I don't know what's wrong with you. We have a lot to talk about, okay?
Yeah. Go subscribe. Go subscribe. And if you want to hear, I mean, before I record tomorrow's episode, if you want to go back from this past week and you want to hear my thoughts on GCW Backyard Wrestling 5, I know Joel enjoyed that. So if you guys want to hear, yeah, I cover everything over there on the Weekender. So check it out.
Listen, I will put him over to his face as I did in the DMs. If there's one thing I love about Steven Jensen, it's that when you get Steven Jensen in a solo capacity, you get stream of consciousness, all the thoughts you can muster, and all the opinions, Steven Jensen. And I love it. Perfect for folding laundry, perfect for your bike rides, perfect for whatever you're up to. So go subscribe now, FightfulSelect.com.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you an hour of my time. It might be stream of consciousness, it might be straight results, it might be a mixture of both, it might be spoilers, but you're getting 1 hour of me by myself on a Sunday. So hope y'all enjoy it.
Dave and Buster's, damn it.
Oh, but you don't even know. Just so y'all know, I'll give you another quick plug here on the Spotlight this upcoming Thursday, right here on this channel, youtube.com/Fightful, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Me and Jeremy do the Spotlight. We'll air the interview after we talk, and that'll be around 11 a.m. Eastern. We recorded an interview with Jeremy Padour that's going to air this Thursday, who is the chief brand officer of Jazzwares and a legend of the action figure game, and he's like a massive investor and collector and all this stuff. I straight up asked him during the interview if I wasted my money during the pandemic on Dave & Buster's NFTs. So if you want to hear all about that, you can tune into the Spotlight. Plus, we mainly talk about AEW figures. It's about an hour and 15 minutes long, and it's mainly about AEW figures. I think y'all are going to really enjoy it. So. So.
You said NFTs and our viewership just went.
Dude, action figures.
Action figures up. The rest thing, dude, don't worry about it. That's a great interview. I'm looking forward to seeing that on the spotlight. That's Thursday mornings on the main channel. That's for free. But FIFA Select is $5. Impact World title time. Let's talk about it. Alex Shelley breaks the curse of the new champions, retains his title over Nick Aldis. Match starts hot. Shelley spits water right in Aldis's face. And then immediately Aldis hooks in a Kingsland Cloverleaf, tries to get the immediate tap out. Nope, not the case. Good back and forth match. Love Shelley focusing on the fingers, on the arm, on the hand of Nick Aldis the whole time. Just putting his fingers in the turnbuckle hole and wrenching back. There's good stuff there. Really good stuff. All the glitter on the mat left over from Trinity, so that both men got to glitter a little bit, got to glow a little bit. And then finish, very simple. DDT onto the world title as they introduced it as a you know, to try to take him out with it. Super kick. Aldis is bleeding. And so Shelley hits the shell shock, gets the win. We'll talk about the post-match in a sec, but first let's talk about the match itself. Alex Shelley retains. What'd you think? What are we doing?
I thought it was solid. I thought it was a good main event match. I'm glad that Alex Shelley retained. I will say that. I'm interested to see. Well, we'll talk about going forward. But as far as the match, it's solid. I've always been a fan of Alex Shelley. I'm glad the guy's getting his flowers right now to, like, you know, and being able to be the world champion of the company. He has really, really good matches. Doesn't matter if it's a tag team singles match, doesn't matter if it's the beginning of the show, the main event, any of the championships. Like, you put him on the indies, you put him anywhere, he's always reliable to deliver. Nick Aldis, there's a stigma to Nick Aldis. You know, everyone, I think most people know that. I mean, like, you kind of get what you get with Nick Aldis in a lot of ways. Like, he's a solid performer, but, like, you know, he was a longtime champion of the National Wrestling Alliance. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that run. I think he did really well for what he needed to for that brand. But I don't know if people were, like, clamoring to see Nick Aldis come over back over to Impact Wrestling and become their world champion. And I'm glad that, because I thought that there was a chance Impact was going to do that. And if you're just asking me straight up as a fan, what would I rather see? Alex Shelley continue this run or Nick Aldis winning this title tonight? 10 out of 10 times, I'm going to say, I want Alex Shelley to keep this title. And I thought the match itself, once again, it was a solid main event, and I'm glad with the result.
I am too. I was feeling like it was going to be a night for Nick Aldis, but Alex Shelley just won that title.
Right.
When Aldis said in that promo on Thursday, are you going to prove that you're more than a transitional champion? And I said, all right, well, that just seals it. Aldis is going to lose. They might go back to this match, and I'm not against that because they did, both men, have some good chemistry. I would love to watch them run this back. There was some good stuff. The sliced bread turning into a pile driver from Aldis the second time, that was good. Again, these two men know how to tell a story. How many wrestlers have said over the years that Alex Shelley has changed their career? And Alex Shelley used that in his own come up to the world title. He mentioned all those wrestlers that he imparted wisdom on, worked with, and made better, and turned them into champions. Now it's his time. And his time is not 1 month as a champion, because that undoes everything he says. Instead, he's going to have that title for a little while longer. But how much longer? Because as we're ready to start going off the air, Josh Alexander shows up. He's not wearing a brace, not wearing a sling, not tied up at all. Comes out looking normal. Although without the headgear, it felt a little strange, but I guess that's just me.
It would have been stranger if you walked out with the headgear in this scenario, though.
I would have loved to have watched it. And he comes out and he says, I'm back. So it looks like we're going to get Josh Alexander and Alex Shelley sooner than later. Again, they're going to be in Toronto. That's Josh Alexander's backyard at Emergence. Josh didn't get to put the title on the line at Rebellion because he was injured. Maybe this is the beginning of not just Shelley and Alexander reclaiming that title, but Steve Macklin's going to come back too. And they got to do Macklin and Alexander too, because that's a match that we were waiting on. And that's a match that we didn't get. So it's good to see Josh Alexander back. It's crazy that his recovery time was much less than expected, much, much faster than expected. What do you think? What do we do with Josh Alexander now that he's back and clearly wants that world title?
Yeah, it's interesting because you have the underlying story also, like I've been mentioning throughout the show with Alex Shelley, Saban, and Kushida also. Like, there's, like, a lot kind of at play with all of this. So, like, that's a good question. Because the vibe that I got coming off of the show was the next major pay-per-view we'll get, like, the next time me and you are here, and hopefully Cresta as well, the next time we're here talking about this, it'll be us reviewing Josh Alexander versus Alex Shelley, I feel like. So, I don't know. Yeah, like, the next big pay-per-view, Josh Alexander and Alex Shelley. You don't think that Alex Shelley will...
Special.
Huh?
I think they'll run that as a special.
As a special?
I think that's going to be an emergence, and I think it'll be Macklin and Alexander at Bound for Glory in Chicago.
Yeah, so I guess... Well, I guess it really depends on when they... Because you're assuming that they're going to put the title like right on Alexander, pretty much.
Or at least start getting... If they could do a triple threat with Macklin and Alexander and Shelley, and just kind of be like two men coming back from, you know, from injury versus Alex Shelley, who can very quickly work with them as, you know, however needed. Yeah. And I see in the chat, you're talking about Multiverse United. That's not a show that matters in the Impact world, to be honest. Like,
there'd just be a lot of cool matches. Yeah. I don't know. Cause that's the thing that's weird with Impact having the special event shows is, and obviously they're willing to change the title on the shows. Alex Shelley beat Steve Macklin on an Impact Plus show recently for this title. So, like, I don't know. It's a good question. I really don't know. Cause once again, like, if, let's say Chris Sabin, because the X Division title, maybe this is where I'm getting in my own head about this. And that's probably what's happening, because the X Division title has the option C attached to it. Like, having Chris Sabin be the X Division champion, Kushida is the number one contender to that title, and Alex Shelley has the world title. It just feels like that all is like a big story right there in itself. And then you also have Macklin coming back, Alexander coming back. It's just a lot. It's a lot to consider. I really don't know. I mean, you're honestly probably right. They'll probably do Alexander and Shelley. When you say emergences?
Emergence is the same night as All In. It's okay. August 28th.
So, yeah.
But it's in Toronto. And if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And
probably
also,
right.
Let's just put one thing out there, though. Maybe they'll do a number one contendership match for Alexander, because they did announce that Sonata, the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, will be appearing at Emergence. Right. Whether or not he has a match, I mean, you can assume he does. But for now, we're told he's going to appear. And so if it's a match, maybe they'll do Shelley versus Sonata in some sort of, you know, champions match.
Which would be great. I'd love to see that. And I think it was hilarious too, by the way, that, because this is a very much if you know, you know type thing. They mentioned after the Sonata like announcement that he was going to be on that, they were like, Sonata, who's got some roots here in Impact. It's like, yeah, but y'all remember, like, it, like, none of those guys, like, I mean, he did all right. He like actually like won the X Division title.
That's right.
But he was a part of like that weird James Storm like group that they tried to do, and that was around the same era that like Okada was playing the Green Hornet or whatever that was, and like
Kato.
Yeah, yeah.
They really messed that up. They took the Vince McMahon level marketing from Dixie, whoever was behind the scenes made the choice that all Japanese talent need to be Japanese gimmicks of themselves in America. Yeah. And then for the longest time, New Japan wouldn't give that up. Right. They were pissed off. Thank God for Rocky Romero and everything that he's done to get those bridges relayed, because Impact is currently working with New Japan. They're doing another Multiverse United show in Philadelphia on August the 20th. And they've already announced a match for it, right? They're going to do, it's Trey and Leo versus Takahashi and Mike Bailey. That's a hell of a tag match.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. So I guess if we want to make a prediction right now, the next time we're here talking about this, what do you think is the world title match that we're reviewing?
I don't know.
Josh Alexander is the champion, though, most likely, in your opinion.
Yeah, I
can. Because my thing is this: he's either going to win the title, he'll either win the title at this pay per view, or he'll be the champion going into it. I feel like, but if they're going to be in Canada for Emergence, it does make sense for him just to win there. So,
Or you can have Macklin cost Josh the championship at Emergence.
True.
Bring him back, and then they can do a triple threat at Victory Road. And they've also got the big Impact 1000 show because their 1000th episode is coming up as well. So that's another thing that they're probably going to want to make a big deal out of.
Listen, at some point while Al Shelley has the title, give me a time machine triple threat for the belt. Give me that. Just give me that before you lose the title. That's really my main ask at this point. Yeah. And to kind of put a bow on this, you know, I thought it was a really good Impact pay-per-view. Every one of their pay-per-views, I think, delivers. I think, like, for what I'm expecting to see when I tune into this, this hits expectations, and it sees them in a lot of ways. You know, there was returns I wasn't expecting. There was I didn't expect all but one title to change. You know, and all the matches I thought were solid. There wasn't one thing on the outside of the Saban and Leo Rush. You know, them basically not having a match which was disappointing to me. There wasn't one match on this entire show that I'd be like, that sucked. Don't watch that. You know what I mean? Like, I think everything kind of complemented each other. It was a good show from top to bottom.
I agree. And I'll add that, you know, as much as we wanted to see a match between Saban and Rush, and we will. I think the fact that we're talking about it as like, you honey dicked us. Like you were so close, but it was also a big shock. Right.
Yeah.
And that gets people talking, and that gets people hopefully invested in seeing where the story goes, because for the longest time, the annoying knock on Leo Rush continues to be, he's just going to retire next week. Well, you know what? He said in a few interviews so far that he's happy to be an Impact. Sure, you can say that that's just paying lip service, but now he gets to put in the work himself because he was given that X Division championship tonight.
Well, so and he
from here is up to him.
Sure, 100%. Well, and he has also been very open about, like, you know what you're he's not like being a jerk about it and being just like ghosting people. He's told people like, I like to come and go. I like to be free. Like I do retire. I do unretire. I do music. There's other, you know, just how he's feeling, you know, and it's just what you're signing up for when you do business with him, you know. And he's so great in the ring that, you know, you're most companies want to have him involved. So like in any way that they can have him for as long as they can have him. And it's good for the fans because we get to see great matches. And, you know, if he stays, that's great. If he goes to something else, you know, he can go do that. You know, it is what it is. You know, but you're right. We'll see the match between those two. I'm sure it'll deliver. Now, when you mentioned getting honey dicked, the only thing that I would say about that is I would feel really bad if I got honey dicked out of $40. If this is like the one show that I want, the one match I wanted to see on the show, and like I paid my hard earned money for this specifically, I'd be like, that was a honey dicking that I'm not happy about. So
yeah, that's fair. And I will add this to the Leo Rush thing. Impact is really good at doing this. And I've mentioned this on a few different shows that I cover or talk about. They do the special guest really well. They have their core contracted wrestlers that come in and do great work, and they are committed to the brand fully. That's fine. And then every taping, every event, whatever it is, they'll bring in a special somebody. Someone who's just there for the tapings, that set of that little time in between the big events. If this is Leo Rush, that's fine. That's perfect for Leo. He comes and goes as he pleases. So if he's only here for another couple of months, sure, he got the title, put some eyes on him. He'll drop that title, and I'm sure it'll look good when he drops it to whoever he drops it to. So there's a lot of opportunity there. And that's something that I find is more of an Impact strength than a weakness, because they're able to bring in and cycle this talent in such an effective way. And then before we get out of here, I want to take out this super chat from Dex Baker. He says, that was a solid show. Nothing shocking besides Alexander coming back. Well, I don't know about that. and I'm not complaining at all. But was there nothing with Dango and Santino? So they're taping that tomorrow at the Fallout tapings. They've announced that that's going to be a match for TV. Do you have an opinion on Dango and Santino?
And not one that anyone would care to hear about. Hey, shout out to Ernest Cat Miller. I know he's been involved lately. That's my boy. He's actually become, it's the most random thing ever. This is, you know, no one cares about this, but Ernest the Cat is local to me where I live. And him and my brother actually share, because my brother is a boxing trainer and he goes like kind of gym to gym depending on who he's training and holds pads for him and stuff. And him and Ernest the Cat see each other almost every day. Ernest the Cat is still competing in like karate tournaments on like the weekends, in like the seniors tournaments and stuff like that. he's the man. So it was cool. It's cool to know that he's still involved with Impact. Like I'm a fan of Ernest the Cat.
Whenever they come around to Atlanta, you'll know you'll see the Cat.
And whenever 100%.
Whenever Santino's around, you'll get that son of my gun, and you'll get this gimmick.
Ernest the Cat's the man. I got to call one of his matches for CDW last year. That was a dream come true. The guy gave me a high five when I was on commentary. I was like, my life is made. I Ernest the Cat, let's go. Somebody call my mama.
All right, somebody call my mama. Let's get out of here. Steven Jensen, plug your stuff. What do you got going on?
Every Thursday, this channel, youtube.com/Fightful, watch the spotlight with myself and Jeremy Lambert. We talk about every wrestling company, and we also we interview people, and I think you'll enjoy the interviews. Usually independent wrestlers or promoters, or this upcoming Thursday, as I was mentioning, Jeremy Padour, who's the CBO of Jazzwares, legitimately one of my favorite interviews we've ever done. I think you are going to really like it. But yeah, we interview a whole bunch of people that are like involved with wrestling. We interview other fans, like other like YouTubers and stuff like that. So check that out. That's every Thursday morning, usually 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, sometimes 8:30 a.m. depending on what's going on. But please support that. Also, go check out the Weekender podcast over on FightfulSelect.com. That's every Sunday, sometimes Monday, depending on. Sometimes there's like really important Sunday night shows, so I want to talk about it on Monday and stuff like that. So, but that's over on FightfulSelect.com. That show's coming up on 5 years in like a couple months. So I appreciate everyone who's stuck along with that show, and anyone who's new and wants to maybe learn a bit more. The main reason I recommend my show to people who don't listen to it is you will become fans of people well before most people know about these wrestlers, if that makes sense. Like I've covered most of these people for 3, 4, 5 years now that you're seeing debut or have become regular parts of AEW, WWE, New Japan, all over the place. Weekender is a good place to learn about them on the indies before they blow up. So please check that out, and follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_. And it was good to be back here, as always, for the Impact post show for the pay-per-views here with you, Joel. So
love having you with us, Steven. I really do. We get a different perspective every time you come and join us. So looking forward to the next one. I am at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. You can find me on Fightful Overbooked every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday as Jeremy Lambert and I get in the weeds at 10 a.m. Eastern. We bring on guests just like these guys do, but we talk about everything. Again, Darren McCarty joined us, so you got to go watch that interview. We've had so many really good pals come and join us. I think Professor Nick Harrison is going to join us on Monday because he's about to do that big Lego show, Hot Wheels show. He's doing Hot Wheels. Anyway, he's going to join us. And then, of course, Kate and I go live every Sunday, 8 o'clock. We're taking tomorrow off, but we'll be back next week. So you know what? That's fine. Cressa Star and I are here every Thursday night after the Ring of Honor post show to cover Impact Wrestling. So come and join us 10 Eastern every Thursday night. Until then, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Cheers.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.